Christ is risen. Christ is risen. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Welcome to worship on this Easter Sunday, this Resurrection Sunday here in Kemeny Parish Church. Today is the heart of our Christian faith. Today we recognize the foundation of the true and lasting hope we have as believers in Jesus Christ, that nothing in death or life, anything in all of creation can ever separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is Easter Sunday. This is the day of victory, of hope and joy and life for each of us. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Just a couple intimations to share at the start of our time today. A note about our upcoming joint service of worship on the 30th of April. This will be a joint service with Benihee Parish Church. Churches together will be held in Money Musk on the 30th of April with a slight change in time. The change in time will be for 11 o'clock in the morning on the 30th of April. And we're going to be joined, I believe Money Musk has a long-standing partnership with a church in Oklahoma in the United States, and they're coming over across the pond for a visit. So it'll be a joint service with our congregations and with an international flair as well. So that's 30th of April, 11 o'clock in the morning instead of 10 a.m. Okay? Okay. And also, I draw your attention to the next meeting of the Good Morning Group, which will be on the 2nd of May at 10 a.m. in the Kemeny Church Center. And it'll be a theme of caring for God's creation. And all are warmly welcome. That's 2nd of May, 10 o'clock in the morning at Kemeny Church Center. It'd also be remiss of me not to say a huge thank you to Noel Lord for leading this morning's 8:30 garden service for the celebration of the resurrection. So Noel, thank you very much indeed for your help with that today as well. Christ is risen. In that spirit of faith, hope, and joy, we now prepare to sing our first hymn together, which is, appropriately, Jesus Christ is risen today.
Our time, our first glory day.
Let us draw near to God in prayer. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, you are indeed risen. Risen today in all glory, in all honor, in all power, in all majesty. As we listen today to the heart of our faith, as we listen to the good news of resurrection life, help us, Lord, to put aside our doubts and our fears. Fill us with lasting hope and abounding joy, and give us even a glimpse of your resurrection power in our midst. Lord Jesus, on this Resurrection Sunday, we bask in the knowledge of the amazing love you have for us, love that overcomes even the grave. Today is special. We know it in the core of our beings. Today is a reminder of what our lives and our faith are truly all about. We pray for a fresh anointing of your Holy Spirit upon each of our lives. We pray that your Spirit would bear witness within each of us, reminding us that our salvation is secure with you, and that your love conquers all things, all fears, all doubts. On this day of wonder and new life, Lord Jesus, we fall at your feet in wonder, and we worship and adore you for all time. And among all the emotion and the celebration, we come before you now, quietly trusting our whole lives to you. Lord Jesus, we confess that even as after you were raised, some of your disciples still had doubts and uncertainties. And we feel those in ourselves as well. So when we don't fully understand what is happening, when our doubts still gnaw at us, when we hesitate to act and to believe, we pray that you will lighten our darkness, Lord, and bless us with your forgiveness. Standing in the light of Easter, sometimes we still struggle to trust you, O Lord. Sometimes fear still threatens to overtake us. When we ourselves take refuge in the tomb and don't want to come out, lighten our darkness, Lord, we pray, and bless us with your forgiveness. When we go out from this place and back to our regular lives, and we don't take in the importance and transforming power of your resurrection, when we don't live as Easter people, remembering that we have a living faith to proclaim, lighten our darkness, Lord, we pray, and bless us with your forgiveness. In the next few moments of silence, risen Lord, we do confess to you fully those sins that trouble us most. Friends, brothers, and sisters, hear the good news that Christ is risen. He is risen indeed, and he is going ahead of us even now. He is risen, never more to be touched by the grave. There is no cause to be afraid. Today marks the day when death and despair have been vanquished. And if God has done that in Jesus Christ, how much more is he able to free us from our sins? So we bless the living God for his grace and his forgiveness and his restoration of our whole selves. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Christ is risen.
He is risen.
He is risen indeed. We'll never get tired of that on any Sunday, especially today. And now it's my pleasure to invite forward Mrs. Sarah Earley for an Easter story for all.
Good morning, everyone. So today we're going to be doing an Easter egg hunt because we thought we'd bring fantastic families to you and we'd have a bit of fun while we're learning about the Easter story together. So I need some children if there's any. One around. Matthew, are you coming down? Lydia and Sam? So we actually did this a few weeks ago, so they should have some idea of what we're talking about. Daddy. So hidden in the congregation, we have 12 Easter eggs, okay? And they're going to tell us the story of Easter. Next slide. Okay, so the first egg is a blue egg. Matthew, do you think you can go and see if you can find the blue egg? Matthew, the people have got it in the audience. Right, off you go. Matthew, go and have a good look. You can. Okay, do you want to open that one up? What have you got?
A donkey.
Okay, so can you remember, Matthew, where the donkey appears in the Easter story? So when Jesus was alive on earth, he...
He rides a donkey.
Yep. Where did he ride the donkey?
To Jerusalem, of a town.
Yeah, no, that's right, because in Jesus' day, most people walked everywhere. But sometimes kings rode on donkeys or horses when they entered the city. And the people would stop what they were doing and watch as the king rode past. And when Jesus rode into Jerusalem, what did people shout? Can you remember?
Hosanna.
Yeah. They said, Hosanna, Hosanna. And they threw down their clothes and they threw down palm leaves and they welcomed him into Jerusalem. But little did they know, that the disciples know, that everything was going to change just in a few days. Right. Here we go. There's your picture of Jesus riding into Jerusalem. Okay. The next egg. Okay. Pink egg. Lydia? Who has egg number two? Lydia, straight up the back. Right, Lydia, give that one a wee shake. What do you think's in there?
Silver penny.
Yeah. You're right. These silver pennies have the emperor on them. Okay. And can you remember in the Easter story why there were silver coins?
No.
You can't remember. Matthew, can you remember?
It's because one, so in the big house that make money and silver, one of his disciples had followed him for ages, and then he went there, and then he said, "If you tell us where Jesus is, then we'll trade you for silver." Then they did. They gave him the silver. Then they went to Jesus.
That's right. Yeah. And do you know how much 30 pieces of silver was worth? 30. Was it a lot of money?
Yes. No.
It was enough to buy a field. Yeah. But it was also, in the Bible times, how much you would get if your slave died because it was killed by an ox, then the master would get 30 pieces of silver. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't really that much money. Mm. Not really. Okay, number three. Right. Right, Matthew, go and find number three. It's pale purple.
A cup.
You have a cup. And do you know what that cup means?
Of drinking blood for Jesus' disciples.
Well, they weren't really drinking blood, were they? Jesus filled the cup with wine, and he had some bread. Yeah, and he had a communion with them, the Last Supper. And he made a special covenant with them, didn't he? Yeah. So it's the cup is a symbol of Jesus and the love that he has for us. Okay. Number 4. It is orange, Lydia. Okay. So what have we got in the orange egg?
Hands.
Hands. What are the hands doing?
Clapping.
They're clapping? Praying. They're praying, that's right. And when Jesus went to the Garden of Gethsemane, he went to pray and he took his disciples and he told them, sit here and pray. But he was really distressed and really upset because he knew that he had to die to save the whole world and everyone in it so they could be friends with God again. But he was really sad as well because it was going to be sore because he was fully God and he was fully man. So the God side of him really wanted to do it. But the man side was terrified because it was going to be so, so sore. So he prayed. And when we're afraid, it's a really good idea to pray as well, isn't it? Because God can help us. Here we go. Right, next egg. The green one, number 5. Matthew. That's lovely, Sam. Well done. Right, you can open up the green one. What have you got? Now, this one caused a bit of problem when we were doing this in Fantastic Families. What is it, Sam? Next picture?
Mop.
It's not a mop. No, it's a whip. And Pilate took Jesus and he flogged him. It says in the Bible. And it would have been really sore because look at the length of that whip in the picture. It's very, very long and very hard. And Jesus hadn't done anything wrong to deserve this. The men who wanted to kill him were afraid of losing power, so they wanted Jesus out of the way. And they knew that if people really believed that Jesus was the Son of God, which he was, they would follow him. Okay, next egg is a yellow one. What have we got?
A chicken.
It's not a chicken.
Rooster.
It's a rooster. And what noise does a rooster make? A cockerel.
Cock-a-doodle-doo!
That's right. And in the Easter story, can you remember what happens? Peter, one of Jesus' disciples, said to Jesus, I will never forsake you, I will never deny you, I will always be your friend. And Jesus said to him, before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me 3 times. And that's exactly what happened. And when Peter remembered, he broke down and he wept. And there he is, running away because he's so sad. Okay, next egg, light orange egg.
It's a spike crown.
Yeah, it is a spiky crown, isn't it? It's a crown of thorns. And what did they do with this crown of thorns?
They put it on Jesus on the cross.
They put it on his head.
Yeah.
They pushed it down into his head. Do you think that would have been sore?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it would have been really sore, yeah. And they said, they whipped Jesus and they put the crown of thorns in his head and they were just mocking him and being horrible to him and saying horrible things, and Jesus was taking the punishment for all the things that we've all done ever in our whole lives. And he could have stopped it, but he didn't. He just kept going. Right, next one. A light green egg. Thank you. You going to open that one up? We've got a cross of nails. There we go. What did they do to the nails?
They put it in Jesus' hands and knees, I mean feet.
On the cross. They nailed him on, didn't they? At Golgotha. Yeah. And there's Jesus with the cross. But the nails would have been much, much bigger than these. Yeah. Okay. Next one. We're looking for a purple egg.
I see it, Matthew.
Okay, open that one up. What have you got? Yeah, what did they do with the spear?
So they used it to poke Jesus.
Yeah, they stabbed Jesus in the side, didn't they?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very sore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because Jesus was already dead, so they didn't break his legs like they did with the other people on the cross. Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. And when they poked Jesus with a spear, can you remember what came out? Water and?
Blood.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that was a prophecy from the Old Testament. That's what they said a long time before Jesus came. Okay, right, next one. A light blue egg, Lydia. You see if you can find that one. Right, what have you got?
A
white piece of cloth. It's a piece of linen cloth. And can you remember what they did with this linen cloth?
No.
No? Matthew, can you remember?
I think they used it to wrap around Jesus' body.
Well, yes. A man called Joseph from Arimathea, he was a disciple of Jesus, and he went to Pilate and he asked for the body of Jesus, didn't he? Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then Joseph took the body and he wrapped it up in the linen cloth and laid it in the new tomb. And he rolled a great stone to the entrance of the tomb. Yep. And went away. Okay, next one. What colour are we looking for? Pink.
Stone.
Okay. It's a stone. Okay, so there was a great earthquake and an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning and his clothing white as snow, and for fear of him the guards trembled and became like dead men. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what it tells us in the book of Matthew. And how big was the stone? Can you remember when we discussed this in Sunday school?
About very big.
As big as a door and as heavy as a
car.
Okay, Lydia, can you go and find the last egg, please?
I remember there was nothing in it.
You're right, there is nothing in it. Do you want to go open it up? Can you show everyone that there is nothing in it? Hold it up. Put your unicorn down. Okay, why is there nothing in that egg?
I can't really remember. It's because that Jesus came back alive. And I think Jesus rose again and Jesus came back alive, and that was it.
Yeah, it tells us in the book of Matthew that the angel said to the woman, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who is crucified. He is not here, for he is risen. As he said, come see the place where he lay." Do you think the ladies were surprised by that?
Yes.
And that's the story of Easter, and it's true.
Well, there we have it. Sarah, thank you for that, and thank you to Lydia and to Sam and to Matthew for participating as well and for teaching us all the truth of the Easter story. I think object lessons are good for any age, and it's a good reminder of what the story is all about. So Sarah, again, very, very well done. Thank you very much indeed. We'll have a couple of children's hymns to sing as we continue to reflect on the meaning of the Easter story together. Come on and celebrate, and Hosanna, Hosanna.
Thank you. This morning's reading is taken from the Gospel of Luke, reading from chapter 24, verse 1 to verse 12. And it surprisingly is entitled The Resurrection. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living amongst the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while you were still in Galilee. The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." Then they remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, they all told these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women, because their words seemed to be like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away, wondering to himself what had happened. Amen.
Thank you, Jeff. We continue in worship with singing our next song of praise, Come and See.
Thank you.
It's my great privilege to invite my friend Will Buchan forward to share a message for us on this Easter Sunday. Will.
Morning, everyone. I need to tell you a funny story, actually, that just happened this morning. So I've got a group of friends on WhatsApp, and this is like friends from my Gerrard Street days years and years ago. So they were all texting back and forth, Christ is risen, he is risen indeed, and I was texting back. And I thought, yeah, I'm going to send these guys a little text. So I basically said, chaps, I'm preaching this morning, prayers appreciated. So my friends, being my friends, said, who's needing the prayer? Is it you or the congregation? So all I could think of was to reply back and say, lol, both. So there we are. Anyway, so yeah, before we get into it, I need to share some truths with you, okay? So first truth, Jesus loves you. Maybe you're thinking, Jesus can never love someone like me. It's not true. He went to the cross exactly to show you otherwise. And we're going to get into this through the passage today. Second truth, Jesus loves you so much, he was not just willing, but he was resolute and entirely focused on going to the cross to prove it. Third truth, Jesus wants you to be with him and him with you. The fourth truth, death is not the end. We've just been hearing about that. Jesus proved that this is the case, and this is why we're all here in church today on Easter Sunday to celebrate this. And there might be some people here who, if maybe church isn't a regular part of your life, and you might be skeptical about the notion of death followed by resurrection. So here's something to think about. James Watt, the co-founder of BrewDog. Anybody know BrewDog? Yeah, anybody like a wee bit of BrewDog now and again? I do. Especially the alcohol-free stuff, that's good too. So he was in hospital recently, recovering from sepsis. And I saw this a few weeks ago on his LinkedIn page, because I follow him on LinkedIn. And it's kind of stuck in my mind, so I thought I'd share this one today. So he said, 400 trillion to one. The fact that each of us is here is a miracle. The chances of you being on this earth for just a single day is 400 trillion to one. You're more likely to win the lottery 10 times back to back than you are to be alive today. And that's what he put on his Instagram. So I thought, well, yep, that's a fair, interesting point from someone who's not religious in any form. So I thought about that a little bit. So given I've got a science degree and a theology degree, I like to think about this kind of stuff. So I thought I'd do a little bit more digging on it. And what I found is that's the statistical chance of what makes you you, but only in your generation. So, and bear with me, because this is leading somewhere. So yeah, 400 trillion to one in your generation. But to get the true scale, you've got to go back through from generation to generation to generation, back to the very start. So when you take that into account, the statistical chance of you being here where you are just now is actually 1 in 10 to the power of 2,685,000. That's 1 in 10 with 2,685,000 zeros at the end of it. So the fact that you are here is indeed a miracle. And it's statistics like this that help me to say quite rationally, and I don't mean it in a derisive way or anything, as Frank Turek, the Christian apologist, would say, I just don't have enough faith to be an atheist. So think about that. So I'd argue this is evidence for a God who created and ordered the world. And if God's behind the world and everything in it, including you and I, then he can make a way for us to be in relationship with him. So as we go into the text from Luke's Gospel this morning, we find out what allowed that to happen. It's death, and for our focus today, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And it's through this death and resurrection of Jesus that we have access to God today, right here, right now. And the empty tomb that we're looking at is the truth of the resurrection. I'll say it again, the empty tomb is the truth of the resurrection. So keep that in mind as we get into the text now. So, verse 1, who are they? They were the women who were present at Jesus' burial. If we look at Matthew's Gospel and Mark's Gospel, some of the people we see who's included here is Mary Magdalene, one of Jesus' key followers from the Gospel accounts, Mary, mother of James, James being one of the 12 disciples, and Salome as well. That's mother of James and John, also two of Jesus' 12 disciples. All three of them witnessed the crucifixion. So what were they doing? They prepared spices that they were going to anoint Jesus' body with. And they would have needed a lot of guards to help move that stone, because obviously the stone was in place. They would need a lot of those guys to come and move the stone away so they could access the body and rub the spices onto him. But they couldn't do this before the Sabbath had ended, as per custom at the time. So let's be clear here. They were not expecting Jesus to be alive. That's why they were going to the tomb with the spices. The idea that Jesus wasn't there and had risen would not have been a thought that would have entered their heads at all. Their only focus was still in a place of devotion, was to get to the body of Jesus. And remember, if you'd been a follower of Jesus at this point, you wouldn't have been a popular person with either the Romans or the Jews. The Jewish leaders of the day saw him as someone who'd committed blasphemy against God and therefore deserved death. And it was the Roman authorities in their authorities who carried out the crucifixion. So for these women, in their earnest desire to get to the tomb, I would argue took some amount of courage. So, verses 2 and 3, what did they find when they got there? They found the stone had been rolled away. Jesus wasn't there. So firstly, let's think a little bit about this stone. I think the word stone undersells what's been placed in front of the tomb. The opening to one of these tombs was probably somewhere between about 4 and 6 feet. There would have been some guards there, as we see in Matthew's Gospel account as well. There's no chance they were moving that stone themselves. So here's some facts for you. Again, I like a fact. Tom Stoltman, if you've ever heard of him, Scotsman, world's strongest man, 2 years in a row. He's 6'8", and he's 185 kilos. He's not moving that stone. So just a little bit about context on these stones. So if you've ever watched World's Strongest Man, it might be a bit niche, I love it, but here we are. These weights are phenomenal weights. The final round before whoever gets crowned World's Strongest Man, they've got to do these things called lift the Atlas stones. So they're about 2 feet wide. They start at 100 kilos, and then the fifth one, the final one, is 180 kilos. And that's one guy who's got to lift these things. So if you think 180 kilos, about 2 feet wide, think of a stone that's 4 to 6 feet. So, yeah, it's not happening. So verse 4, the women were wondering what on earth's going on. And we're told two men stood by them, and in the translation I was reading, in dazzling apparel. So these were the angels. And the women, we're told, were frightened, as you might expect, when you're trying to get your head around what you've just seen, or in their case, not seen. Verse 5, then. The women, they're in a state of shock and fear. And they're asked the question, why do you seek the living among the dead? In effect, this is a wonderfully rhetorical question. It sets the scene for the amazing statement that these women are about to hear. And so in verse 6, they say to the woman, "He is not here, he is risen." How many times have we said that already this morning? And we're going to spend a little bit of time around this. They're some of, if not the most important words that you're ever going to hear. He is not here, he has risen. Why? Well, this is the crux of Christianity. Josh alluded to that earlier. This is what we mean when we speak of the good news. And it's this good news, he has risen, that it demands a response from all of us. So if anyone's here and you've not felt God yet ask you to respond to the good news of Jesus Christ, and I say yet intentionally because I believe that if you're here or if you're listening or watching online, then this is the reason that you're watching or that you're here just now. He is risen. These words are especially for you. Jesus is alive. And it's my prayer that you'll respond to this. And I want you to know you're welcome. For those of us who are part of the church and who know and love Jesus, well, the Apostle Paul tells us why these words are so important in his letter to the Corinthian church. 1 Corinthians 15:14 says, "And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith." It's pretty blunt, isn't it? And it needs to be just that, because it shows us in no uncertain terms the importance of the resurrection of Jesus. And let's be clear a little bit on the background of the Apostle Paul. He dedicated his life to persecuting and killing Christians, and yet God transformed him. So let me ask you a question. Would he have manufactured a massive lie about his experience of Jesus from where he was at the time, a place of safe social standing, where he was literally hunting down Christians to persecuting them? And yet he ends up becoming one of them and being regularly beaten and tortured and thrown in prison. Not a chance. He's not going to make that up. So if you think that God could never love you, then I need to tell you, you are very much mistaken. The fact of the matter is, if God can love and forgive Paul and pull him into relationship with him from a place where Paul made it literally his mission to persecute Christians, then he can and he will do it for you as well. Paul said himself in his own words again to the church in Corinth. So 1 Corinthians 15:9 and 10, he said, "For I am the least of the apostles and do not even deserve to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace to me was not without effect." And it's that same grace through the death and resurrection of Christ that we're celebrating today. And that's extended to each and every one of us. Doesn't that sound good? I think there's a purity and a revitalizing love in God's grace that cuts through all the terrible stuff that we can do and have done in our lives. And if you've not experienced it yet, then I ask you now, ask God to give this to you. So please do think about it. And if you want to talk afterwards, happy to do so. I can hang around. We hear a lot when we share the gospel message, Christ died for you, but this is true and it's fundamental to our faith, but he's also alive for you. Death was not the end. So let me just be explicit about it. Christ is alive for you. We don't often say that to each other, and I think it's maybe something we should think more about and tell each other more. Remember what I said at the start. Jesus loves you, the first truth. I didn't say Jesus loved you, past tense. But Jesus loves you. There's something that's going on right now in the present. And Jesus died for you because it was all part of his plan to take the punishment for all the wrong things you've ever done and will do. But Jesus is alive for you so that you can come to him and be with him. So remember the words of the angels to the woman who found themselves in an empty tomb. He has risen. This message was for them about 2,000 years ago. And 2,000 years later, it's still just as relevant for us today. Verse 7. The angels reminded the women of what Jesus had said to them previously while they were in Galilee. And he'd said that, quote, "The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and on the third day rise." So the Greek word here, anistemi, meaning to arise, doesn't just mean to stand up, but it means to jump up or leap up. There's a joy and a vitality about that word that our English translation doesn't quite express. So tomorrow morning, when my alarm goes off at 6:10, I arise. Do you think I jump or leap? No, I don't. I can barely function before I have a sit down again and a cup of coffee. So think about that word arise and the Greek meaning behind it. And also, so in verse 7, when the woman would remember how Jesus had been flogged and beaten within an inch of his life, forced to walk uphill to the place where he was crucified to experience the most painful, demeaning, and shameful death that could be issued under the Roman Empire. They were seeing in real time that literally nothing, not even this, could keep Jesus from being who he says he is and doing what he said he was going to do. So out of the depth of utter dejection, rejection, despair, and hopelessness arises, or shall I say jumps or leaps, the risen Jesus who did this for you so that you can be with him. Does that not make you want to jump or leap for joy? Let's look alive. It should. And it's this message of he has risen that the church exists today. It's the job of the church to tell this message to the world. And that life-affirming, life-giving message that the church has today of he has risen traces its way all the way back to those women who, as we find in verse 9, remembered what Jesus had told them would happen, having seen the empty tomb, which, as I said at the start, is the proof of the resurrection. And so they went and told this to the disciples. So to close, we see two different responses to this in verse 11 and 12. Most of the disciples, they just didn't believe it to begin with. We're told that they were thought it was an idle tale. However, Peter ran to the tomb to see for himself what had happened and saw linen cloths that Jesus had been wrapped in the empty tomb. Now, if you read on later in the chapter, you'll see that Jesus did indeed show up to all of his disciples, and they saw for themselves that he had indeed risen. But I'd make the point there are really only two responses to the words, "he is risen." Are you like the disciples who initially shrugged it off as an idle tale? Or are you like Peter, who ran to the empty tomb in verse 12, marveling at what had happened? Because there's little room for middle ground here. Maybe you're struggling right now to believe that Jesus rose, that death couldn't keep him down. Well, as Christians, we believe that through the power of God, he can reveal himself to you to help you understand that he has indeed risen. And believe in faith that there's space for you with him. Remember that statistical chance that you're even here on earth right now to begin with that James Watt was thinking about 400 trillion to one. If God can beat these odds by creating the world and everything in it, as we read in Genesis 1, the very beginning of the Bible, he can absolutely raise Jesus from the dead. Because death has no power over the living God. And I want you to know that deep within you. There's nothing more you need to do than to ask Jesus to come into your life. Tell him that you're sorry for all the wrong things you've done, and you will find forgiveness, love, and acceptance there. People will let you down. Jesus won't. So I'll finish again with these truths I gave at the start. Jesus loves you. And maybe you are still thinking Jesus could never love someone like me. It's not true. He went to the cross exactly to show you otherwise. Jesus loves you so much. He wasn't just willing, but resolute and entirely focused on going there to the cross to prove it. Jesus wants you to be with him and him with you. Because he's alive today, he is risen. And finally, death is not the end. Jesus proved this to be the case. And the empty tomb was a proof of the resurrection. So Jesus is alive for you. The angel said to the woman at the tomb, "He is not here, he has risen." And because of this, we can say he is risen. He has risen. Amen. And glory be to God.
Father's love for God, our Father's love.
hard not to get choked up listening to that song. It really tells us what it's all about again. One intimation I forgot to share at the start of our time today, by the way, my apologies. Tonight, 7 o'clock, here in Kemnay, there'll be a Teze service of worship. Teze is a ecumenical monastic community in France. They're known the world over for their particular style of worship. And so tonight we have a Teze style of service here in the Kirk at 7. This is by nature a reflective service, a quiet service. So especially if you've heard something from the Lord today through worship and through Will's wonderful preaching, and you want to come back tonight and to have more time to sit with fellow believers and to sit with the Lord and to ask Christ to make himself known to you, come along tonight to the Teze service at 7 p.m. for a time of reflection and fellowship together. Christ is risen. Let's pray. Risen Lord Jesus, amazing things happened on that first Easter morning. On the Friday before, there was darkness, there was pain, there was despair, there was loss. And then suddenly, without warning, there was light, life, unquenchable joy. And as we've come before you, Lord, this morning, through worship, through prayer, through preaching, we pray that you will bring each of us to the place of joy and delight as we worship you as the resurrected Lord. Christ is risen. Risen Lord, when the two Marys came to the tomb at first light, they came to grieve, but were met with amazingly, beyond belief almost, good news. We come to you today and we bring our sorrows, our sadness, our confusion, our doubts, and our pain, and we ask you, Lord Jesus, in this time, right now, that you meet us in all of your love and all of your power in our deepest places with the good news of your presence and comfort. In this time of prayer, we lift to you now all of those who we know who need your risen, consoling presence right now. Lord, refresh them and sustain them and us with your life, with your joy. Christ is risen. Risen indeed. Risen, Lord Jesus, as we hear again the good news of your resurrection, give us the courage we need to share this good news in our lives. Give us the courage to share it with our friends, with our family, with our coworkers. Help us to live this message out in every aspect of who we are. In this time of prayer, we pray now for those who are close to us, who do not yet know you as Lord and as Savior. Make us living conduits, joyful witnesses of Christ's resurrection power. May we bear true witness to who you are, Lord Jesus. May we go and tell others that you are risen, risen indeed. May we go and tell others, Lord, how much you have done, are doing, and will do for each of us. Christ is risen. You are risen indeed, O Lord, and as a sign of our faith in you, we now join our voices together in prayer, praying the words that you taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, In that spirit, we sing our closing Easter hymn, Thine Be the Glory.
As we go out from here, remember the truth of the empty tomb. But let's not just remember it. Let's share it with the world that he has risen. Be like the woman who ran to tell Jesus' disciples what had happened and tell it to the world. Be like Peter, who ran to the tomb after hearing the good news, but run to the Bible, the Word of God, because you will find Jesus there. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, may God bless you this Easter. Amen.